Hi, I'm Reverend Zach.
I'm Francis.
And welcome to This Movie Was a Hot Dog, a podcast where me and my brother over here, Francis, watch a bad movie, critically, financially, or otherwise. Then we review it, break it down, and tell you what we think. And this week, we watched 1985's horror comedy, sometimes The Stuff.
Oh, yes. did someone pick this for us, or did we pick it?
Yes. Oh, my God. I'm so glad you said that, because I completely forgot. This was a request.
Oh, who requested this one?
Here, I found it. It is a request by a guy named Tony. He sent us a message, suggested this movie. I'd actually seen this movie about 20 times. As soon as he sent us this request, I was like, yes, we have to do this movie. This movie is amazing.
I had never seen it till I watched it this morning.
And it's so good.
It's a treat. It really was a treat.
So thank you, Tony.
Yeah.
Like, thank you for bringing this up to us, because I completely forgot this movie existed. Now, before we start in any way, if you like any of the other movies we've suggested, or these goofy movies are kind of your thing, stop listening to this right now and go watch it. if you want to go in on this movie completely clean, you don't want to know anything about this movie if this sounds like your kind of thing, because this movie is legit really great.
Yeah, I mean, it's stupid.
We're not going to watch Casablanca on here or nothing.
No,
it's stupid as shit.
But awesome. It is a good movie. I'm sorry. It might be ruining the purpose of the podcast, actually, by watching.
Why? No, we're not.
I don't know. We'll find out at the end if it categorizes as a hot dog, really.
Well, let's get into it. This was written, produced, and directed by a Larry Cohen, who probably isn't anyone's favorite director, but this guy has an amazing career. He started in the 70s and 80s, and he directed and produced some classic B-movies, and he has written an impressive amount of really good TV, and the dude is still working today. He's like 75. Mm. Like, you should absolutely check this dude out.
Actually, he is actually one of my favorites.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
Okay.
And it stars Michael Moriarty, Garrett Morris, Andrea Markovici, Paul Sorvino, and Danny Aiello.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, I can't believe this flew under my radar for this long.
There's a reason nobody talks about this movie. It was made for $1.7 million, which seems like not a lot, but
85.
I don't know what that translates into 1980s dollars. I don't know how much it made, if it even had a theatrical release.
It did.
How much it did.
It was in the theaters, yep.
Well, we don't know how it did or what any of it. People like it now because of what it is, but I can't figure out anything from the time. It's enough preamble. Let's talk about the movie. Francis, start us off.
With the beginning of the movie? Is that what you wanted me to do?
Yeah, that would be a good place to start.
Okay, so there's some guys that starts off with some guys working underground, and they find...
They're miners. They work at a mine.
Was it a mine? I thought maybe it would be a railroad or something.
It's not very clear, since I'm not sure if this movie has kind of shaky editing or just the version of it we saw was kind of...
Yeah, maybe.
Because the version we saw, like, there's no anything that builds to it. The movie just kind of happens at you.
Yeah, so check the
legit. But I don't want to fault that. Yeah. I don't want to fault that on the movie. That might have been the way we watched it.
Yeah. So, and one of the workers finds some sort of white substance bubbling out of the ground, and in a weird thing, he decides to put it in his mouth. And I was like, "What are you doing?"
He's walking around in the snow, and there is this viscous pus-like liquid bubbling out of the ground, and the first thing he does is eats it.
Might be good.
What the fuck? That is literally the rule number one for finding something you can't identify. Don't put it in your fucking mouth.
Well, I guess we wouldn't have had a story if he didn't, but geez.
Never mind. He actually eats the goddamn thing. And it's not like there's any sort of like, oh, well, it was on here and it fell on my hot dog or anything goofy like that.
No.
He's like, what's that? Scoops it up, shoves it in his big fat face.
Are you done?
Francis, it could literally be poison.
It could have been, yeah, we don't know. And he didn't know.
And I love the other guy who shows up.
He's like, yeah, what are you doing? Here, try this. And he gives it
well,
to him.
Not only that, this second guy shows up, and the first old man who's eating it goes, this is delicious, you gotta try it. And the second guy goes, I don't eat snow. I don't eat snow. Then the old man says, it's not snow, it's bubbling out of the ground.
Okay.
And then the other guy eats it.
Snow? No way. Strange.
No, that's stupid. I don't eat snow. That's beneath me. Strange white bubbling substance coming out of the ground?
Yeah, sure.
Don't
no
try
problem.
Anything once.
And they love it.
It's
sweet. It's like a treat.
And they're immediately like, hey, we should sell this.
Right. Yeah.
We don't even know what this is.
Yeah, what do we call it? It's like some sort of stuff.
Smash cut to, from that, we cut to our B story character, who is this 12-year-old boy named Jason. He wakes up in the middle of the night because he can't sleep. I guess this is supposed to be set, like, what, a year after that first scene? With the old men eating it?
Sometime in that year. Yeah, I wouldn't guess it's too far in the future, but...
Well, it's pretty... It's not like the next week or the next month, because
No. At least 6 months.
Yeah, because he walks up into his... he goes downstairs, he goes to his refrigerator, he opens it up, and there is a can, or like a ice cream...
Kind of like a Cool Whip type of container, I would guess.
Yeah, it's like a little cardboard container of this stuff, which is now marketed as the stuff... Which, let's just get this out of the way, is a really stupid fucking name.
Yeah.
Nobody would buy a product called The Stuff.
Yeah, not in real life.
No, but he opens up the fridge and he sees that the stuff is moving on its own. What?
Horror.
Horror movie. Kind of.
Well, that's supposed to be the start of like, ooh, what's happening, you know?
Well, they don't do a job of like, oh no, it's benign, don't worry. Like, it's immediately like, this stuff is creepy.
Yeah.
Old men are eating it out of the ground.
Rule number one, folks, remember. No 5-second rules here. It's just straight up.
If you pick up something on the ground and you don't know what it is, just don't put it in your mouth.
Yeah.
Because then you might cause the collapse of society. Who knows? So he sees the stuff moving, and Jason's dad comes down and is like, is a real jerk?
Yeah. What are you doing out of bed?
Why are you out of bed? And he's like, I was hungry, I couldn't sleep. And he's like, you get your ass back up to bed! And then slaps him on the ass really hard.
It's like, it's like, wow, maybe he just wanted a bite to eat. Relax.
And it wasn't even like he was doing anything.
No, nothing
or
wrong.
He broke anything.
Nothing wrong, just... Yeah, just wanted to grab a bite.
He's like, you get out of here and you get to bed, you piece of shit! and then the dad stays up and starts eating the stuff.
Yeah, well, doesn't he tell his dad? He's like, it was moving, Dad, or something like that. And
yeah, because this kid is, like, now terrified of this stuff since he saw it moving. So then we cut to a commercial for the stuff.
Love it.
This commercial... is the scariest part of the movie.
I guess I don't remember the first. Why was it so scary?
Because it was that really old model looking lady in like a big black fur coat sitting under a neon sign that says the stuff while there's like purple like plastic tassels on the wall behind her. And she's talking in this childlike, wispy voice, going like, when I was a little girl, I liked ice cream.
Oh,
but now I'm a big girl, and I like the stuff. And it's like, nobody would buy this shit if this was the commercial. And That never happens again. There's never anything like that again. Later on, we see commercials for the stuff, and they look like real commercials.
80s commercials, like everyone dancing, like, get the stuff, it's amazing. You know, like stuff, you know.
And there's a choreographed dance move, and everybody's having fun,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Then what the fuck was this lady doing?
I like this stuff.
The worst part was when she goes, but now I'm a big girl. Who wrote this? Come on.
Now I'm a big girl. Anyway, we've got to get off of this.
It was really weird. It was, it was the scariest part of the movie to me. So we cut from this nightmare of a woman to a boat filled with CEOs of various junk food companies. And business is really bad because basically the stuff is slowly becoming the only thing people eat.
Yeah, it's a monopoly.
Oh, it's not. Well, it's not a monopoly. It's just nobody wants to eat other stuff. Get it?
How many times are we going to say this?
Oh, that's probably going to happen a lot. And so what they want to do is they want to hire a corporate spy because nobody knows what the stuff is.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's hidden, almost like no one knows Coca-Cola's secret formula.
Which they say later, and we'll get to. So they hire this former FBI agent turned corporate spy for hire called Mo Rutherford. They call me Mo because every time I get money, I want Mo. He says that joke 3 times. It never works. It doesn't work any of those times, but he keeps saying
it. Was it me? I felt like, I just wanted to say, right here at this part of the movie, I felt like the voices were dubbed in, almost.
It was the... I want to give the movie some credit again because of the way we watched this. It might have just been a little slow on that clip.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the dialogue might have been a little off because in terms of looking like a movie, this is filmed very well. Some of the effects get kind of iffy at the end, but you can't really fault the movie for that. You sit down, and this has actors in it. It has good lighting. The sound is great. It's filmed well. Like, visually, this is a good movie.
Yeah, okay. I'll take that. Yeah, definitely so.
So, they go, apparently the FDA approved it, but won't tell anybody anything about it. So, they want Mo to go in there, find out what it is, and basically just disrupt the business for the stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, then we cut back to Jason's house, where his dad... His older brother and his mother are having breakfast, and all of these people hate each other.
Yeah, it's a very dysfunctional family, we would say.
Well, it's not even dysfunctional where it's, like, goofy. Like, the mom is, like, just tattered and tired, and she's like, go wake your brother up! And the brother's like, but my cereal's gonna get soggy. And she's like, will you just do what I tell you, you piece of shit? And the dad's like, that goddamn kid was up in the middle of the night. He probably slept through his alarm. Like, all this family's gonna kill each other.
And later on, we find out why.
We do?
I don't know. Maybe this stuff might have something to do with it.
No, the stuff makes them love each other later.
That's right. I guess,
no,
yeah, you're right.
This is
yeah.
just how these people are.
They're just mean people.
They're miserable sacks of shit who all hate their lives and don't love each other at
all.
They
hate their lives and each other, but more importantly, they all hate the youngest son above all.
And later on when they become, well, we won't get to what everyone becomes, but... Well, later on they hate him, but they all hate him now, too. Like, they just all hate this kid. And as far as we know, this kid hasn't done a goddamn thing. His family just hates him.
He just wanted a snack in the middle of the night.
And now his family's just miserable. So he tries to so his family is all like, oh, we're going to have some stuff for breakfast because it's zero calories, it's got no sugar in it, and it's, you know, it's fat-free and all that shit. But he tries to tell his family, like, no, I saw it moving, it's going to kill us. Bleh.
At that point, you would think they would be like, all right, we need to get you to a doctor. And
no, they're just like, stop lying!
Yeah, exactly. It's just mean to him.
Just, they're not like, well, maybe you had a dream or they're just like, shut up, you piece of shit, you don't know what you're talking about.
Why did they do, why though? Is it just because they're just a mean family?
I don't know. It's
bothering me a little bit.
They're completely unrelatable characters by just how absolutely terrible they are to their own son.
Moving on.
So then we cut to a lab where Mo has a scientist running tests on the stuff, trying to figure out what it is. And they just, nobody knows. They say it's protected, like you said, in the same way that the secret formula for Coca-Cola is protected. But here's the thing with that. You have to kind of say what's in it.
Yeah.
Is it dairy? Does it have allergens in it? You have to give a base of what it is. If you look on the back of a can of Coke, it still says water, high fructose corn syrup. Like, they just don't tell you what the spices or flavorings are.
Right.
They have to tell you what it basically is, though.
Yeah, then you might not get the exact amounts of each.
And I mean, obviously, we know why they won't say anything, because they're not going to go, what's in it? We don't know. We found it on the ground. But everyone keeps it in a fridge, which implies it can go bad.
But then it's not in the fridge outside, you know?
Yeah, but sometimes people keep it in these big walk-in freezers. So do you have to keep it cold? Does it go bad? Does it melt? Is it solid? Is it a non-Newtonian fluid or whatever? Like, you can't just put a product out on the market and go, like, it's a food. You just eat it.
And do what you want with it. Keep it hot, keep it cold, whatever.
Sometimes it's like ice cream. Sometimes it's like yogurt.
Eat it off the ground.
Eat it off the ground to become addicted to it. Whatever. Do whatever you want. It's food. Don't ask questions. It's food. You just eat food.
Allergic? No problem.
There are no allergens, we assume.
We hope.
So then we cut to them filming another commercial, where this one is better than the creepy lady, but it's still a really bad commercial. Because
is
it's
this the runway
same
one?
Yes! What was this even? It's the same backdrop. It's the big, the stuff neon sign with all the purple tassels and plastic on the background. But it's these models in giant, like, mink coats, wearing bikinis, walking up and down a runway, just eating the stuff. That's not what a commercial is.
Maybe it's a, I don't know, maybe it's just a glamour shoot, I don't know. Was it actually a commercial?
They had big film cameras. Also, isn't this the most popular food product in history?
Why do we have to do advertising?
Well, not only that, you think they could afford to spend a little bit more money than purple tassels and a neon sign.
Well, it is 1985.
We had even more money back then. We were just with Reagan. We were throwing money out the window.
Okay.
So Mo walks in and just basically tells everybody to stop filming this commercial and talks to the PR woman who's running it, because she apparently marketed the entire thing and came up with the name The Stuff, which again
is a horrible name.
But they say, like, oh, so you're the person who came up with the name, you called it The Stuff. And she's like, oh, well, yes, I know, it's a pretty great name. And I'm like,
don't flatter yourself, okay?
yeah, like, come on,
it's a pretty bad name, actually. Maybe you forgot to say bad and you said good.
So Mo is pretending to work for a petroleum company, saying he wants to buy her PR firm so that he can, you know, figure out shit.
Mm-hmm. And she's flattered.
So this is your favorite part, because then we cut to a grocery store.
Oh, yeah. And this is where young, what's the kid's name again? Jason? Jason runs in and just basically tears every display and section with the stuff in it apart.
Well, he
knocking
also, like,
of,
starts...
Yeah, knocking it out of people's hands.
Children's hands.
Yeah, and just, like, decimating everything in this store. And again, some are in fridges, some are just out in the...
Right, you're absolutely right. I didn't even think of that. Some are stacked to, like, cans of soup.
Yeah, outside. And then there's, like, whole fridge sections of them. And then there's the part where they're, like, in the dairy section. It's like... And it's
what is
it?
I love what he does at the freezer section.
What did he do?
Where he picks up, like, a big iron rod and just starts breaking all the glass.
Oh, yeah.
He, like, this kid loses his goddamn mind in this store.
And then I wonder, after that, how is he not in, like, why do they not show, the next scene should be him in a mental asylum.
Well, we start to see that, like, everyone eats this stuff.
Yeah.
And not only does everyone eat it, but it's also slowly replacing food.
Yeah, no one's eating regular food. It's just...
No, people are only eating the stuff. And he does get, you know, tackled down and arrested. I don't know why his parents aren't there. I mean, his dad probably just would have beat the shit out of him in public.
I wouldn't doubt it.
But he basically just gets held down.
Yeah.
So then we cut to Danny Aiello's house. Mo shows up, and Danny Aiello is this guy who works for the FDA and was one of the dudes who approved it. The weird thing is that everybody who approved it from the FDA is now either dead or out of the country, which I don't know why Mo is the only guy who thinks that's weird, because that is super weird.
I tell you why, it's because everyone else is eating the stuff.
Well, yeah, but if every member of the FDA disappeared, like, that, like, somebody else would go, wait a second.
I didn't realize all the retirements came up that quick.
So he poses as a, or half of them die,
yeah,
if half of the approving members of the FDA are dead. Mm. Come on. So he poses as a journalist, and he's talking to Danny Aiello, trying to get information out of it. Danny Aiello's being really weird and being really evasive.
He's afraid of his dog, too, isn't he?
He's terrified of his own dog. His dog keeps, like, growling at him and barking at him. But what I like is when he goes, like, so what's in the stuff, Danny Aiello? And he doesn't play it off like, oh, you know, we can't tell you because of this law. He immediately looks at Mo and goes, why? Did somebody have an allergic reaction? Did something happen? Like, play your cards a little closer to your chest, dude.
Yeah, be like, oh, I don't, you know, yeah, we can't tell you that. No, he's just like, oh my God, I cracked
oh
right
my
away.
God, did something happen? I mean, nothing. Not that anything would happen, of course, but...
Saying it did. Maybe it did. Oh, God.
So, Danny Aiello's like, I do have my original forms, I'll go get them for you. So while he goes upstairs, Mo looks into his kitchen and sees his kitchen is filled with nothing but the stuff. Just cans and cans of
it. So, and we're assuming him and his dog are both eating it, and was that why his dog is, like, kind of being aggressive towards him?
Yeah, because the dog is the first instance of somebody being influenced by the stuff.
Right.
So he gets the reports and he leaves. We see him drive by, this bothered me, he drives by a stuff store, which... It's like an ice cream stand, but exclusively sells the stuff.
Why does that bother you?
Because what is the purpose of it? They sell it everywhere. Everyone has it in their homes. It's almost the only thing people eat. Why also just have this store now?
Well, maybe you're just out and about and you need the stuff, you know?
I guess. And then we cut back to Danny Aiello's house where his dog is killing him. The dog sort of becomes a dog from The Thing for a second. Hey, there you go. The Thing, the stuff.
The Thing, thing. Great movie,
go.
By the way.
There you go. Watch that, too. But the dog's, like, head turns into, like, a puppet head for a second. And, like, stuff just starts to, like, pour out of his head. And then he just bites Danny Aiello's throat out.
Awesome scene.
Just, and that's the first time where you're like... When you see the stuff coming out of the dog, you're like, okay, so obviously, is this stuff alive?
Is it a sentient being?
Which I guess it is,
yeah,
right?
I mean, sort of.
So Mo pulls up to this gas station where he meets Garrett Morris, the actor who is playing Chocolate Chip Charlie, who used to be this big cookie mo.
This guy.
This guy's great.
Yeah, I know.
What does he say about his fists?
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't know? He says it 12 times, Francis.
Well, I guess I wasn't...
It's like his fucking catchphrase in the movie.
Well, remind me, and then I'll know.
Well, tell me what it is, and then I'll know, because this will be the first time I'll be paying attention to it. He says his fists are registered as lethal weapons in 3 police departments.
I don't remember him saying that.
He says that so much, I'm beginning to think you just fast-forwarded through those parts.
I actually did not. I watched the movie.
Okay, well, then that surprises me.
But sometimes, you know, sound and all.
You're right. Good argument.
Yeah.
Sometimes sound and all. Anyway, so he meets Chocolate Chip Charlie.
Sorry. I'm so sorry.
Charlie was trying to figure out also what the stuff is, because the company that owns the stuff basically fleeced him. they just bought his company and sold it out from under him, and now he's, like, destitute.
Yeah, and then he was part of the board, he said, and then they, like, kicked him out of the company and everything.
Yeah, I guess his family did, because his family was addicted to the stuff.
Mm. Well,
perhaps.
Maybe, yeah, possibly. They didn't really go into it.
So they are in this small town where the stuff was apparently started, but everybody has left there. This town is like ghost town now.
Mm.
They go to the post office to see that all the mail is being forwarded to this place in Georgia. And the post office guy is acting really weird. He's just going, "Why don't you just leave us alone? We aren't hurting anybody." And they're like, "Okay, you're being really creepy right now." And he's like, "Well, excuse me." And he sneaks to the back room, but he does it in the most conspicuous way. He's got, like, his back all hunched over, and his hands are like, "Oh, oh yes, oh, yes." And he, like, peeks over his shoulder, and he's like, "Oh, oh yes."
I wonder if they're watching this. Us. I wonder if they're watching us.
And they're just both standing in a brightly lit room staring at him, just being like, "He's being real weird, huh?" Yeah. And then he goes into the room and just, like, empties, like, a sack filled with the stuff. Like, the stuff, it's like, it is almost as if he is a meat suit, like a meat balloon that doesn't have bones or muscle in it. It is just entirely the stuff inside him.
Yeah.
And the stuff just pours out of his mouth, then the stuff runs away and leaves this
shell.
Empty suit of a man.
Yes, yeah, so we're guessing, not guessing, we see that the stuff basically takes over your entire body and uses you, kind of, until it's done with you.
It's addictive tasting, so it forces you to want to eat more of it. Then it slowly takes over your body and is sentient, and then is now using you as a way to get more people to eat the stuff. So they go in the back and they see the dead body, and I love their reaction to the dead body, because they're not like, "Something's weird here." They're literally like, "This is freaking me out. That looks really gross. We got to get the fuck out of here."
Realism.
They leave and all of a sudden are attacked by a mob. They run away and they are getting to this boat to, like, get down a river. But while they're trying to get the boat hooked up, that some of these mob guys come to them. And they're like, "Okay, we're going to punch our way out of this." And they literally punch holes through these people.
I mean, maybe it's because the stuff is taking over the inside and there's nothing inside.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what it is, because they're dried out. He punches this guy's face off, literally.
Yeah, it's not, because all it is just a sack of skin with the stuff in it. That's it.
He punches this dude in the jaw, and this puppet is great, because they punch this dude, and then this thing is just laying on the ground going, it's really gross.
It's excessive.
And then Chocolate Chip Charlie, like, karate chops a guy, and, like, stuff sprays out of his neck.
Using those fists.
Those fists that are registered as deadly weapons in several police departments, which he says multiple times.
Yes, I remember that.
So they get away on this boat. And they are at a diner. Mo tells Charlie to go to the FBI, and Mo is going to go speak to the company themselves, which you think he was waiting to do to this point because the company won't want to tell anybody anything about the stuff, right?
Yeah, you would think as much.
It's going to be really secret because the FDA won't tell anybody. Nope. They don't want anybody to know that this is a sentient parasite that they're basically tricking people into eating that is from the ground.
And they're like, "Yeah, come on in."
Yeah, come on in. Yeah, we don't know what it is. We just found it.
Yeah.
I don't eat it because it's gross. People are addicted to it. I sort of think it's dangerous, but what are you going to do about it?
Nothing.
And I'm like, really?
Yeah, the whole thing, the buildup just doesn't add up to where it actually goes.
No, like, you think this is the part, because literally the scene before this, I just skipped over it because who fucking cares, but, like, there's a coordination with people who run stuff trucks to, like, try to run him over?
Yep.
So, like, they know that he's on to them and that that's a bad thing. And then he goes and talks to the main guy, and he's like, "Yep, here's all the proof you need."
Yep, I don't need it.
I don't eat it. I'd never eat it. It's addicting. It's bad for you. I'm pretty sure it's a sentient life form that's alive inside you when you eat it.
What's in it? I don't know. We found it on the ground.
That's my favorite. That's my favorite part. What's in it? I don't know. We found it on the ground. What an answer. Like, you could sell something on that basis. So they try to buy Mo off, but even he's like, well, this seems a little too scary for me to take a bribe about. So
yeah, he's like, I like money and all, but...
But I don't know. I also like not living in a world full of zombies. Oh, he starts calling them Stuffies.
Stuffies? I love that name.
The people who are... The stuff zombies, he calls them Stuffies. I like that.
It's a good one.
So Mo leaves and goes to tell this PR woman that basically she's poisoned half the world with her marketing campaign.
She takes it well, surprisingly.
You said she takes it well, surprisingly.
Yes. Excuse me, surprisingly well?
Yeah.
Either way,
that's how I'd say it.
It's some sort of associative property or whatever.
Damn it, Frank.
What did I do now?
So, yeah, she takes it surprisingly well, and they decide that they need to break into the factory to find proof that it is addictive and all that shit. And Mo sees a report in the newspaper about Jason in this grocery store, and Mo decides he's also going to go save this kid. I don't know why. I guess just because he's sort of like...
Anti-hero?
Mo is sort,
kind of an anti-hero. Yeah,
he's kind of like the con man with a heart of gold.
Yeah, yeah.
He's doing everything for money, and he won't do anything unless he gets money. And even when the guy tries to bribe him, he says, I'm not going to do what you're asking, but he still takes the money.
Yeah, I love his character.
This guy is actually really good in this movie. He's a Law and Order tentpole from the early years, I think in the 90s, but he's pretty good in this.
Yeah, I like it. I like him.
He's got a lot of, like... smarmy charm.
Yeah, and I thought he was going to be a bad guy when the film first started.
No, he's a good guy.
That's
so
what
he goes.
I thought. Yeah. Anyways, go on.
Yeah, so he goes to save this kid because he is a con man with a heart of gold.
Is it the house with Jason?
Yeah, and where his family is now, just these happy zombie people.
Yeah, they're just sitting there and doing fun things while eating the stuff.
And they're just like, and that's why I was saying where it wasn't the stuff doing that in the beginning, because in the beginning, they were miserable people who hated their lives and each other.
And Jason.
And Jason specifically. But now they're all like, welcome, we're just a happy family unit. Come down, we're playing Atari.
It's not Atari, that is a ColecoVision.
Oh, I actually love ColecoVision.
That's what that is, yeah, I have played that game.
And he goes in the kitchen and all the food is in the garbage. There's only stuff. They only eat the stuff now. And this is when they like really turn up the zombie, where they're like, Jason, join us. Join us, Jason. Eat the stuff.
And he's like, yeah, no.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, I'm okay, though.
On a side note, I hate to break it up. I just realized that this kid was in Who's the Boss?
Okay.
It's a sitcom.
I know it.
In the 80s.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I know it. Who's the Boss.
He plays, Jesse. Anyways, go back to it. So they want him to eat this stuff so bad that they're like, here, you go upstairs and you eat it and don't come down until you do.
And he goes in the bathroom instead and flushes it down the toilet, and the stuff literally tries to claw its way out of the toilet.
He, like, flushes it down.
And, I mean, this is a stupid plan he has.
Yeah, this was really dumb.
To convince his family that he ate the stuff without actually eating it, he fills it full of shaving cream.
Right.
And he goes downstairs, where the family is now eating the stuff at a dinner table served out of a big fancy tray, which I thought was, like, you guys were just eating it.
Do we need to eat more?
Well, not only, I mean, I get it that it's addictive and you got to eat more, but why didn't you just all get another carton? Like, why do we have to have a fancy sit-down meal for the thing we were already eating?
Well, because we're zombies.
I guess. So he comes downstairs and he's like, hey, everybody, I love it. It's delicious. And they're like, that's great. Let's watch you eat some. And he's so cocky about it. He's like, ah, thank God it's not the stuff. And he puts a big thing of shaving cream in his mouth and his eyes are like, oh, this is poison.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And when he did it, I was like, ugh. I mean, it just made me cringe. I was like, you kidding me?
For anybody out there who maybe hasn't shaved yet, believe it or not, despite the fact that shaving cream looks like whipped cream, it's not at all.
And it might kill you faster than the stuff.
I wasn't joking when I was like, oh, it's poison.
It really is.
So he starts to, like, gag, and the dad's like, wait a second, and he puts his finger in it, realizes it's shaving cream, and instead of being like, we're going to make you eat it or blah, 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 they try to kill him.
Well, if you're not going to conform, if you're not going to conform, we'll kill you.
Not only if you're not going to conform, they're like, well, we gave you one chance. That's all you get.
One strike policy.
Now you must die.
Oh, man.
They chase him outside where Mo is there in his car, and he gets in Mo's car, and they drive away. They all go to the airport where they get in this private plane to Georgia where they're going to go to the factory. They get to the factory, and they're going on a tour where they want to find out how it's made and what's in it, and they're all being very vague about it and like, oh, company secret, can't tell you. Mm. Meanwhile, Jason, who stayed on the plane... The plane is attacked by Stuffies.
I love that name.
Or Stuffheads, whatever.
I love that. I just can't get over that.
And he flees into the woods, and he ends up at the old mine from the beginning of the movie, where it was originally found, and like an idiot, he decides to hide inside of a tanker truck, and he gets locked inside.
Well, yeah, what does he think was going to happen?
Why did he even go there?
He's full of brilliant ideas, you know, eating shaving cream and
locking myself in an oil tanker?
That's
like,
going to get filled with the stuff?
I get it he ran away from the plane because it was being attacked, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah, I'm just trying to kill me, sure, run away, whatever. Hiding in the woods, he finds the mine. Why did he even go to it?
Or go tell someone, you know? Why not?
Don't
just...
go there!
You know, where all the bad stuffies are.
And then when he does go there, he climbs on top of a truck. Don't do that. Then when he realizes somebody's coming, he hides inside it. This kid is a moron! Mo and the PR lady are now done with the tour, and they go and check into a hotel, right?
Yes, or motel.
Why
yeah, and of course, the motel that the company set up for them. Didn't they think this was going to be weird?
But why didn't they check on the kid? They don't know that the kid's in trouble yet.
Yeah, I think they tell the pilot, you know, 3 hours, then bring him to the motel. Well, he never shows up.
He never shows up! So they're both... laying there in bed, and a commercial for the stuff comes on, and I thought this was funny because it was the Where's the Beef lady?
Where's the beef?
The old Wendy's commercial with that old woman, Where's the Beef?
Oh, yeah, that's right.
That was the old lady from that commercial, and she's going, Where's the stuff?
Where's the stuff? I can't believe they got her to do it.
That octogenarian Jewish lady managed to get in a movie because she said, Where's the Beef funny in the commercial one time. good for her, man. So, as they're sleeping, stuff starts to seep out of the bed because we find out that the bed is made entirely out of the stuff. And it starts to attack them. It attaches itself to Mo's face, and they have to burn it off.
Yeah, and I was like, well, why doesn't it burn his face, too?
Oh, and he lays there, letting this thing burn on his face for, like... As I was watching it today, I was like, oh, try and take it off now. Try and take it off now. Try and take it off now. It's been burning for a while. Try and take it off now. Quickly, come on. Come on. Wow. Wow, still not doing it yet, huh? Like, and eventually, they get it off his face, and a stuffy appears... And this stuffy gets in the line of fire of this bed just firing a cannon of the stuff into the wall.
Well,
and this guy gets like plastered to the ceiling.
Did you notice Is there anything interesting about this scene, the actual set?
You mean how it was filmed, that it was filmed at, like, you know, upside down so it could pour?
No, no,
and look
it's
like
the
it's
same
up?
Set from Nightmare on Elm Street.
Is it really?
From the kit when Johnny Depp gets killed, yep.
Johnny Depp gets killed in his bedroom, though. This is a hotel room.
It's still the same. No, it's the same set, though.
Well, how are we supposed to know that?
Well, I just kind of saw it as a note online after I watched the movie.
Okay, so you read that as an interesting fact that they use the same set in this movie?
Right.
Right! But you can't go, did you notice? Because right. There's really nothing to notice.
I was hoping you wouldn't call me out on it.
Because the two rooms look nothing alike other than the fact that they use the same set twice.
Right.
Right.
Well, I was just
okay.
Hoping you wouldn't say anything, so.
Well, maybe next time don't bring up a dumb fact.
What happens next?
So, they basically light this hotel on fire? They just burn the whole building to the ground.
At this point, who cares? Stuffies are running rampant. What are you going to do?
They light this fire, they steal a car, they leave. They're going to go to the factory, follow the trucks to the mines where they're sucking all the stuff out of the ground.
Yeah.
When they get there, they realize that it is a sentient parasite that brainwashes people because it is literally like this giant lake of it, and it's like alive. Like, it's moving, and there's, like, these weird, like, stalks coming out of it that move like tentacles. It's actually kind of creepy.
Yeah, and this is, yeah, like, again, this, yeah, you wanted to know the ingredients? There it is.
You want to know what are the ingredients? We found it on the ground.
We just suck it right out of the ground, and apparently it just, you know, makes more of itself. I don't know.
And the woman is like, they don't process it or anything, and he's just like, nope, they just suck it out of the ground and put it in a carton.
Man, imagine how easy it would be if you had a company that could do that.
Well, I think that's why they did it.
Yeah, I mean, it cuts down on costs.
Well, yeah, it's also habit forming, so people have to eat it again. It's like cigarettes.
Oh, boy.
So they start to fill up the truck that Jason is locked in because, again, he's a idiot.
He's a idiot.
Mo sets a bunch of bombs and is getting ready to steal a truck. This is the part I don't understand. They're all like, we need to prove that this is a weird goopy glop that they suck out of the ground. And Mo goes, I'll steal one of those trucks and that will be proof. No, it won't. That won't prove anything.
Where did you that'll get it? Well,
that'll just prove you have a truck full of something people eat. That doesn't mean it was from the ground.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, I got it from this place. I swear. I swear I did. And they're like, oh, good. Okay, we believe you.
Not only oh good, multiple times several people say, hey, aren't you that terribly disgraced former FBI agent who got kicked out of the Bureau?
Yeah, I love how he's like, I'm an undercover agent, but everyone he meets is like, aren't you that guy from the FBI?
And it's like, he does the James Bond way of having an alias where he doesn't, he just uses his own name.
Yeah, Mo Money,
He does! Every time he's like, hi, I'm a journalist. Hi, I'm a fucking petroleum mogul. Hi, I work for this company. He's always like, yes,
Mo.
My name is Mo Rutherford. Oh, by the way, here's my slogan.
Mo Money,
And it's like, lie a little bit, I guess, right?
Yeah, just be like, use another name with an M. I'm Martin instead.
It's harder than it sounds. You couldn't even think of one.
I'm Mega Man.
Megatron. And nope. Megatron. God damn, that's another
Megatron.
Robot.
Also a football player.
So they blow up all these bombs and basically implode this lake of the stuff. They steal the truck. They drive away. Mo takes them to a militia that he knows about when he used to work at the FBI. That's run by a retired colonel played by Paul Sorvino. This guy is like a conservative communism's trying to take over America, so I got all my guns and boarded up in an old church because Jesus loves America and football.
And that's okay, because he's free to do that. It's America. He can do that.
Right, but I mean, militia's sort of getting to that part of like, oh, so you're trying to take down the federal government by force?
I mean,
that's not okay.
Well, it depends.
Well,
in this case, yes.
Yes. I'm saying in this case.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to get to, anyways.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if everybody knows this. Me and Francis are very pro-militia. We're very...
Yeah.
You got a private militia out there? We'd love to be able to sponsor your private militia on this podcast.
Yep.
Please send us all of your private militia propaganda and pamphlets, and we will gladly distribute them through our audience
and
process.
And we just need a processing fee of $2,499 to get that going.
Yeah, so just hit us up. Any
Western Union only.
Western
yeah,
Union.
Money order only. That way it can't be tricked.
What is this, 1879?
Hey, can't reverse
we'll
the money order. Anyway.
Forget what he says. We'll take Bitcoins or PayPal.
Bitcoins. PayPal.
Yeah, you want a money order from Western Union? What are you, crazy? It's 2016.
Okay, yeah. Stuffies are running wild.
Stuffies are running wild. So he convinces Paul Sorvino to have his militia help them because he sort of just convinces him that the stuff is a communist plot.
I mean, it's a good thing. I mean, he's just using the guy's hatred against the stuff.
Yeah, I guess not against the stuff, against the communists, because this is the most malleable man in the world. Mm. I mean, he doesn't, like, the way he convinces him, Paul Sorvino's like a real dummy.
How did he make colonel?
Oh, he was at, like, apparently, they kind of say this, he's a retired colonel, so he was in the military, and he retired, and I guess he lost it.
Yeah, he was in
anyway,
AM, whatever.
This is so unimportant to the movie. So, the militia invades the mining facility and kills some of the people. But most of the workers there gather in one room, and then in mass, all of the stuff expels from them and turns into a giant blob monster.
Yeah, so they're basically dead.
And then it just bursts out of the building, which is, like, that's the thing. Sometimes the stuff is, like, able to move entirely on its own and can kill people by, like, not, like, even, like, getting inside them, but by, like, brute force.
Yeah.
But there's other times where it's, like, once it gets outside, because it just breaks out of a wall and it gets outside, it just sort of lays on the ground like a liquid.
It's got to be the atmosphere. Maybe the atmospheric pressure has something to do with how it reacts when it comes outside of a... Or maybe it's a maturing process for how long it stays inside the human.
Do you have one of those magic homes where you don't have the atmosphere inside it?
No, I'm saying a change in atmosphere. So maybe in the heat it moves.
How much of a change? Oh, you mean a change in temperature?
Yeah.
Okay, well, you're saying, you said atmospheric pressure.
Yeah, you know, like the barometer or something.
Okay, do you think that if you're sitting in your living room and you open the door and go outside, you are experiencing a change in the atmospheric pressure?
Well, let's nix that, and we'll go with how long the maturation process is
wrong.
In the person that it's being uh-huh. hosted in.
Right, uh-huh.
Do you have to do this to me? I mean, I'm coming up with a very viable argument.
Is it, though? Is it?
Yes.
A change in the atmosphere? Never mind! So, now that we have proof that the stuff is sentient, we are going to warn the world, right?
I guess
so.
We'll
they
just
go to
dismiss my thoughts on how it, be, you know, whether and why it can attack when it comes out of a body.
Yeah, that was the plan.
Okay, go ahead.
So dismissing that, they go to this radio station where they're going to broadcast this report about what the stuff is and don't eat it, and basically they sit there for like an hour actually typing out everything they're going to say.
Dick, we don't need to. This is, you can just wing this. Hey, this stuff is killing everyone or taking over everyone. Don't eat it.
Not only that, in this movie, we don't need to see them write this report out.
Here.
We see them write several drafts of it.
No, that won't work. Don't use the word sentient. Use whatever.
They literally do that.
They do.
And then Chocolate Chip Charlie shows back up, and he's like, I want in on this broadcast, so now they got to write a whole section about him in it. So they take him to a back room, and Chocolate Chip Charlie is acting a little weird, and it's a little suspicious.
Yes.
And then the PR woman's like, well, come back in the room with me. This is just draft number 8. We'll work on draft number 9 with your info in it. So they go back in there, and she's ready to start typing. And Chocolate Chip Charlie starts to say, oh, I've seen what these stuffies can do. And then the best part of the movie happens.
He basically, his face explodes.
It's not an explosion, and you're not giving it the due description. Okay.
His mouth opens to unreasonable levels.
His head turns into a puppet. The first part of when the stuff leaves you is you turn into a puppet.
Yeah, of course.
And then your mouth becomes as big as so you could like basically eat a pumpkin. And then his neck starts to bulge. And then his mouth, the inside of his mouth, has all of these, like, holes in it. And then his head splits in two as the stuff starts pouring out of his throat. And then he explodes.
Right, okay, sorry, I missed the best part.
Oh, it's like, because it's like a 3-minute transformation scene.
I love it. That's definitely one of the, that's my second favorite.
That's the payoff is when Chocolate Chip Charlie's head turns into like the size of a pumpkin and explodes. So the lady starts screaming because the stuff is now sentient again because they're inside and there's no atmospheric pressure inside a building.
Thank you for acknowledging my theory.
Yeah, you got it. And they shoot the windows with they shoot the glass so they can get into this place, and then they stick it with live wires and shock it to death. They do their broadcast, they tell everybody, and then there's this montage of people burning the stuff, closing these factories, closing all these stores, people throwing it away. Hooray, it worked, right? Uh-oh, maybe it didn't.
Yeah, the terrible ending.
Well, why don't you tell us what it was?
It cut out on me at that point.
No, you didn't give it about 3 seconds.
No,
there's
I'm not,
black
no, I'm,
for about 3 seconds.
On mine just stayed black.
Nope, I had the same one you did. I thought the same thing, and I skipped ahead, and it played.
Oh.
So you don't know how it ends.
I thought that was just the ending.
No! There was a whole other chunk of the video. There was like 10 more minutes left.
No.
Yes!
I thought it was over, that it was just a bad copy thing.
And you just thought that the video would just play in complete blackness for the rest of the time?
I thought it was just frozen.
And you didn't check?
I was on my PlayStation. It's like
okay, was your controller up your ass or something? Well, anyway, the end of the movie is this. So Mo goes to see the CEO of the stuff company. And he finds out that the CEO of the stuff company is working with the CEO of the ice cream company that hired him in the first place. They say, hey, we don't really give a shit that you blew that up, because frankly, that stuff comes out of the ground in lots of places. And what they decide to do is, they're going to market a new version of the stuff called, are you ready for this?
Ready.
The Taste.
It's just as bad, though.
I agree with you. I'm with you there.
I am really sorry about not catching this part.
Well, they say the new version of this, the Taste, is 85% ice cream and 15% stuff, so that it's still extremely addictive and habit-forming, but won't turn you into like a puppet monster. And they're like, well, we're just going to wait till this dies down, and we're going to keep sucking that shit out of the ground, and we're going to sell this for profits. And Mo's like, I don't think so, and pulls a gun on them. And then Jason comes in with 2 cases of the stuff, and he forces them at gunpoint to eat it.
That's brutal.
And then there's like this montage of them like slowly eating it. At first they don't want to eat it, and then they can't stop eating it. And Mo's pointing the gun going, well, gentlemen, I guess you gotta ask yourself, are you eating it, or is it eating you?
Good line.
And then they cut to them being done, and they're so filled with it they can't move. And then we cut to the streets, where there's a black market for the uncut stuff.
Oh, maybe there'll be a sequel.
Selling it out of cars, and people buying it in shady alleys because it's so addictive. And then credits!
Well, I do apologize for not seeing that last part. I literally thought that it just cut out. You know?
No, you didn't think there were any credits?
I thought it was just, like you said, the version we had seen might have been a little...
Nope, there was a whole other chunk left, and it was great!
And you know what's good? You know what? And I know, being the great person you are, you won't judge me for it.
Yeah, you know me. So, that was the stuff. I don't think we really have to go into reviews, although we will.
Yes.
I think this movie's great. I didn't hate it. Our review system obviously is, I didn't hate it. It was a good party movie. It was a good hangover movie, or I hated it. This goes into good party movie, and I didn't hate it. This is a great party movie, actually.
Yeah, oh, yeah, so you could double up on this one.
Oh, yeah, you can watch this just for sitting at home pleasure, or you can get some friends with a pizza and a few beers, and you can just put this on, and everybody sit there and go, what the fuck is happening? Why did that guy's head turn into a puppet?
I might watch this again later today with my wife.
It's a really great movie. Yeah. It's like... If you've listened to this and haven't seen it, you're sort of missing out on the mystery of what happens because, I mean, they tell you right up front that the stuff is a bad living thing, but you don't know what's going to happen or where it's going to go, and it really is a pretty decent mystery and intriguing story.
Yeah, it's a good, one of those good bad movies.
And this guy, Larry Cohen, he wrote, produced, and directed it, and he did a fucking fantastic job. I mean, this guy is brilliant. So, see this movie. It's very easy to find. I think it's on Netflix. I'm not sure.
Not anymore.
No. Then just Google it. You might have to watch. You might find it in chunky chunks on a certain website. Sectiony parts
yeah.
of a website that does that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we wouldn't watch it like
Never.
That. But if you wanted to see if you could.
I would actually recommend you. There is a DVD release of this. Go on Amazon, pick it up.
Oh, yeah. This is a buy.
Yes.
For sure.
I might actually, after this is over, might go on Amazon and pick this up with another product I was hoping to buy.
It is certainly brilliant. So, Wait, I do have something to say. If you want to send us questions, comments, concerns, or hate mail, you can send us hate mail at moviehotdog@gmail.com. We have a Twitter. You can follow us on @moviehotdog. Please like us on Facebook @thismoviewasahotdog. That's where you can send us requests. Again, thank you, Tony. We got his requests from Facebook, from a Facebook message. We've been getting a bunch of those recently, and that's great. We love it. You guys have great ideas. Keep sending them in. If you get this through iTunes or Podomatic, please rate and review and subscribe as it really helps the show. Francis, I'm done talking now.
Okay. Did you want me to finish this off?
You may start talking.
Oh, okay. So, for Reverend Zach, this is Francis saying, I think all my ideas are great, and this movie was a hot dog.